This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey guys, welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast. It's Takeover Tuesday here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. Let's get this show started.
You're watching the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Podcast, presented by Feel Free Kayaks. Paddle, pedal, or power, there's something for everyone. Z Pro Lithium, serious power for serious anglers. Dubro Fishing, American Marine Application and Soft Plastics. Big Lake Bait Company, Texas's number one custom bait maker. Raw and unfiltered. Streaming on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Bringing you gear reviews and candid interviews from the industry's best. Angler profiles, tournament news, and legendary knowledge from kayak fishing's best. Grab that cold drink and get settled in. Now here's John Rapp, our host.
All right, guys, welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast. Tuesday, middle of April. Hope you guys surviving all those extreme thunderstorms out there today. I know we had hail here in Nicholas County and in Fayette County today. But, hey, are you seeing those bad boys behind me? Have you guys got signed up for the Paddle and Fin Podcast tournament on Delhalla? It's less than 2 weeks away. And, we've got this first place check we plan on giving away along with this $100 off check to Z Pro Lithium. And, of course, that big bass check over there, we've got two of those we're going to give away. And I can tell you right now, the minimum that's going to be on that white box right there is going to be at least $1,700. Last check, we got $1,750 each day for the big bass pot. And that's before you register. Each person that registers adds $10 to that pot. So make sure you go over to Tourney X, check the Paddle and Fin page. I made some posts with the checks earlier today with the link to the Delhalla tournament. Would love to have you guys show up. So tonight's episode, I'm pleased to bring back on a couple of folks that are regulars on this show. They've been on the show several times. Hell, I got Buddy, he's does a lot of my profiles that I throw up. I've got his videos. It's been up here for a year and a half where he talks about his favorite type of fishing. And then we got Michael Ryden there, a couple of West Virginia boys who made the trip to Texas last week and done quite well. So I'm going to bring these fellas on, and we're going to do a little talking about what they did in Texas to succeed at Bass Nation. What do you say, fellas?
What's up, John?
How are you, John?
Good, good. So glad to have you with me again here. Both of you guys have been on the Rusty Hook over the last 4 years on several occasions. Got Michael even sporting a really cool custom Rusty Hook hat that he ordered from our folks here in Braxton County that make those hats. I mean, it's really sweet. They're patches. It's a Woodyard Creations in Braxton County. I mean, they rock it. So if you're looking for some really, really cool hats, man, and they can make anything you want. If you got a logo for something that you love,
down at the expo for me too.
So that 304 hat that you see me wearing a lot the past few months. I mean, I got them from at the Morgantown when we were up there, Michael. I got that up there. So hey,
they put that on the back of one of these
guys. You guys killed it, man. I mean, y'all smashed them. Y'all went to Texas and done some work. I want to hear from you guys. Michael, we'll kick it off with you. Tell me a little bit about your trip and where you stayed at. Tell us a little bit also about you, your socials, and things like that. So if people want to track you down and follow you, they can. So,
yeah, on Instagram, it's yakfish365. That is also going to be the YouTube channel. I've already got that up. I just got a bunch of footage I've got to go through. And I also have a Facebook now under the Yakfish365 to match the Instagram, or Michael Ridenour on Facebook as well.
Cool, cool. So you went down to Possum Kingdom. I know both of you, I reached out to both of you. You were both going at different times. So you stayed with, who was your partner that you stayed with while you were down there?
Anthony Fitzgerald and I traveled together, and we stayed there in Grabford, Texas, just 2 miles from the Chamber of Commerce where the event center was going to be. It was lakefront. Awesome little cottages. There were several kayakers and some others there right there around us.
Cool, cool, cool. Hey, buddy, so let's talk to you here, man. Let everybody know who you are, your socials, where they can find you on the book, and we'll go from there.
Hey, buddy Vance, I got a Facebook page and then got an Instagram page. No YouTube page yet. That's where you can find me.
So is it Buddy Vance, or is it Buddy Dot Vance, or is it BV, or is it the Springtime Killer, or what do we go by?
Bedtime Fisherman. That
I like. That would be legit. What's Brandy saying?
You're at WVU Bud on Instagram.
WVU Bud. Oh, cool, cool. WVU Bud on Instagram. Cool, cool.
She keeps me straight.
Ain't that the truth? We won't go into the fact of the technical difficulties that we were beginning at the show. And that you, boy. Hey, why is your face turning red, bud?
Hey, I lean on her. I depend on her now. She's on the Geek Squad, I'm telling you.
So we got Minor Smith saying you can't wait until topwater action kicks in when the bluegills get on bed. That should be some good time. Around over here in this part of the country, Minor, that's our June time bite. Late May, early June. So, hey, man. So, your trip to Texas, did you go with anybody from our area, or how did you manage your trip?
Me and Philip Backus rode together, and we followed. Well, he went along with us in a different vehicle with Mark Edwards.
Okay.
And us three stayed together on the other side of the lake over on Bass Hollow.
Speaking of Mark Edwards, what do you say? Our good friend there just said hello. So, well, hey, so okay, you boys, y'all went down there and you smashed some fish, but the weather.
Yeah, and it was tough for everyone, John. I mean, You know, at first we thought we just done that bad, but to come find out everybody struggled. You just couldn't find fish.
And we end up running into them pre-fishing. Buddy actually walked down to the water, and I was in that little pocket. He walked down to check it out. They stopped, and I reckon I was a little struck. I went over and talked to him, and we talked briefly, and was under the same assumption that the lake was just, depending on where he was at, was just completely different stages of the spawn. It was cut and dry. They was either pre-spawn in this section and nothing else, or post-spawn in this section and nothing else, or that spawn funk where they wasn't eating in this section. It was tough.
So I mean, well, obviously your plans had to change. It went from a 2-day event to one. Well, how much pre-fishing did you get in, buddy? How about you?
I got 2 days. Let's see. Well, 3 days of pre-fishing. The first 2 days were brutal. You know, we tried the side of the lake that we stayed on, probably every 7 to 8 fish a day. And I mean, it was tough. Never could find any bedded fish. We made a move on Friday, and that's why I seen Michael, and I found some bed fish, and I knew what I was going to do. I was locked on. No matter how many people was going to be in that cove, I was
Anybody that knows you in our part of the wood knows if there's a bed fish, it's going to be – your name's going to be wrote on it.
Oh, so. Yeah, I got excited. I mean, I lit up. At the first bank I hit, I seen one on the bed, and then I didn't go 20 foot and seen another one. I thought, uh-oh, this is where I'm going.
So, Michael, what about you?
I got 2 days in, two full days, and we hit the very upper end of the lake in the mud water. I actually thought that would keep them from seeing us. The water's pretty clear. We drove around and just looked at docks, and the water colored every single ramp the first day, so we didn't fish at all. But we got two full days of pre-fishing in.
So when you got
Buddy's talking about, I think that's where, if he fished where we were at, there was some nice ones laying on bed, but there was so many bass boats and other kayakers in there. I was like, man, I know everybody's seen these things.
Well, while you guys were
water crystal clear,
while y'all were practicing, what did you do to eliminate water or eliminate techniques so you could sort of dial them in?
Day one in the muddy water, I just covered lots of water. I was really hitting shallow water and any shallow water structure. There's a lot of timber in that lake, and lay downs along the bank and boulders. There's plenty of structure and objects that look really fishy. But with the water color being about the color of Elk Fork, I really just covered. I drained 2 torpedo batteries, mostly due to the wind. But couldn't put a pattern together. There was no consistency to the bite whatsoever. Caught 7 fish day one, and day two when I seen Buddy, I only caught one. Some of that was because I wasn't going to sore lip them just before the tournament. I seen him was like, I'll leave you alone and just keep looking. But even the fish that I didn't see and was fishing trying to put a pattern together, I only put one fish in the boat on day two. It was ground.
What about you, Buddy?
About the same thing. I fished a lot of shallow area with some structure. Had real good water color, you know, what I would look for. Most of mine was coming off spinner baits, you know, off of structure. Still wasn't enough fish to be confident. I mean, it was, you might get a bite once an hour at tops. And even tried some points, you know, where fish should be staging if they was coming in. And a lot of them, you know, what I'd heard from other anglers that, other angler done good on them points, and I caught 2 fish off at one, and I mean, it just never was there.
Huh. Well, Buddy, I gotta ask you, because I mean, I know, you know, fishing with you as much as I've done over the past, you know, 10 years, that you've really you got me hooked on hummingbird. Now I got 2 hummingbirds in day before yesterday. I got a 360 live I'm setting up because of how effective and how you use those tools, especially at Lake Erie last year, and how you would bring me over beside your boat, and we would sit there and we'd watch that sonar go in circles. You'd be like, there's a bed, there's a bed, there's a bed, there's a bed, there's a bed. And I mean, like,
oh, 360 up there was priceless. I mean, I could see all the beds, and you know, I didn't need to see them no more, you know, far standing up and seeing them. I mean, I could actually see them on the graph, and it was a game changer for me.
So I see you got a Garmin there beside you now. Did you, what graphics did you use down in
Hummingbird? I still a Hummingbird. I got a new kayak, and then I haven't got it set up yet. So I still fish out my old one. Still fish with the Hummingbird. This is the second time I've bought a Garmin.
That's what I was getting ready to ask you, because we talked about that before.
And here I am again, going to try it again. I mean,
He took the Garmin he bought last year back to the store after he never put it on. Then he went back and bought it again.
This one's still in the box. So maybe get Brandy to take it back after all. I don't know. I've tried
some Garmins and they're good units. They are, but I don't use them either.
I'm
still hoping.
So when you were fishing down in Texas and that you had that stained water, it's all like our elk fork. It's, you know, dirty, stained. Were you using those tools to find fish?
Active target. I have active target Lowrance units on mine, dual graph map coming off points and really just trying to put everything together. And active target played absolutely no role. I tried, I probably only had it on for a total of day one pre-fishing. I used it quite a bit. I probably had it on for a total of 3 hours that whole day, out of about 9 hours on the water. Day two, had it on maybe 2 hours. I wasn't catching anything. I wasn't even really seeing the fish I was looking for. Everything that I would think was a bass ended up being a striper or a white bass. The place is loaded with white bass.
What about you, buddy?
Like I said, I used my side imaging a lot until I went shallow and found them on the beds and pretty much didn't need a fish finder no more.
Then you turned them off, turned it off.
I brought it with me, but I didn't need it. I mean, once I could see them, I was deadlocked. That's what I was going to do. And I was going to live and die by it. And I told, you know, even told Philip and Mark, I can get 85 inches. If the right fish would move up, I felt real comfortable. And fishing in there, I mean, there was so many people in there and you just had to deal with it. About like it is at Erie, you know, a lot of people on top of
right.
you. And I seen some big females, several giants. They would not commit and move up enough. So they
weren't locked on yet. They weren't locked onto a bed.
No. And I think a lot of it hurt. It was the pressure, you know, that water's really clear. Kind of reminds me of a lot of Summersville up in that area where I was fishing.
Right.
Real rock banks. And I think it affected them. I know they wanted to come up, but they were still just staying off, making big circles. And man, I wish one would have came up. It'd have made a difference. But I was happy with what I got, and I caught a lot of fish, you know, in the tournament. So I was happy.
So if you would have caught a 19-inch fish, what would that cull been for you?
Well, I've been 4-inch cull right there, so that'd be major. Close to 90. So yeah, I was thinking if I can get a 20, that'd put me in a 90. I mean, that would have been a major jump for me. But I seen plenty of 20 plus. I mean, there's some big fish swimming around in that lake, and I just could not get them to come up, and just too much pressure. It was crowded.
Well,
you'd have to, they'd be 2 and 3 boats behind every boat dock. I mean, it was brutal from the bass boats. And from the kayaks, it was just really crowded.
Cool. So I know, is the boss right there out just out of view?
Yeah, she's sitting here.
So I'm curious, which of the four Airbnbs did we decide on?
I just got home and she just got home and I don't know. I know one of them was booked already.
The best one was booked.
So. Seems like they all got plenty of parking.
Yeah.
The closest one to Prescott.
Well, we know number four will always be acceptable. I mean, but if one and three happen, that would be great. So.
Yeah. The best one, you know, the one we've been staying at. I mean, across the street, that was pretty convenient.
That's what I was telling Michael earlier. I was like, before you jumped on, I was like, that was what was always convenient, is you just drive to the house, park, and then you can go eat and have a cold beverage.
It was nice. That was a good evening. And yeah, I wish we'd done it more. And so I didn't like it. I mean, the drive was the only bad part about it.
That's the only downfall. I mean, you got looking at that 30-35 minute drive, because that bad thing is about when we get on Lake Erie, we got that 15 minute drive around the park, you know, to get to our spot.
You ready to catch him, Smalley's?
Oh, bro, I am so ready to go up there.
Batman Phillip was talking about, you know, we went down there and fished almost a week, and we still didn't get no sore hands. I mean, we did not catch many fish.
No, we hope to have sore hands in about 3 hours up where we're getting ready to go next
week. Oh, yeah, your hands will be destroyed, which is a good thing, you know.
Well, you guys hang tight. Speaking of smallmouth, I want to give another plug here. You guys take a quick break on this upcoming tournament at Del Hollow. So, all right, guys, one last time before we get kicking, I'm going to throw a couple videos at you. For the Del Hollow event that we're doing, and love for you guys to join us. So you look here in the background behind me here, I've got the check that will go with that winner's check, $100 gift certificate, $100 off at Z Pro Lithium for a battery purchase, and that big first place check right there in the middle. Now, over here, you're looking at the big bass check. That big bass check, there's two of them for day one and day two, and at the very minimum, that check will have $1,750 wrote on it for each day. So I highly recommend that if you're not doing anything in the next 2 weeks, Saturday after and Sunday after next, you need to be calling this number here at Eastport Marina. And as you watch this video with the phone number on it for Richard, that's the location of the venue, and we'll be staying on these houseboats. So right there in the middle, you can see the building there. It's the marina. That's where we'll have our awards ceremony, dinners, and everything. So really hope you guys decide to make a trip down to Del Hollow with us. Call Richard, screenshot that, and join us. We're going to have a good time. I know several of us are leaving next Monday to go down, start doing some fishing, and get set up. So we'll bring back the crew, bring Mike. Mikey's back. Hey, Mikey. And now we're bringing on the Nedrig special himself, Finesse Shad Buddy Vance.
That's what you need there, John, for Erie. That's all you need.
Hey, wait. Nuh-uh. No, you're tricking me, because last year I watched you throwing bubble gum.
Well, it's either this or bubblegum.
So that beautiful lady that's next to the BV is the other BV in the house. That's Brandy. Brandy, welcome to the show.
Hello.
And gentlemen out there, if you're watching, Brandy can catch some fish as well. She's a hammer. There it is.
Yeah.
So we got Rick Garavaglia jumping in. Ask Jerry Spradling about how sore my thumb was at Gunnersville.
You know we're going to Gunnersville next month.
Yes. And then we got U.S. Kayak Magazine editor, chief boss, and contributor Roy Widgeon jumping on saying hello. Hello, Roy. Hope all is well with you. So, yeah, Gunnersville. You're going to go down there and hit that tournament too?
Yeah, we're hoping the topwater bite in with Michael.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm a power fisherman at heart. I got a finesse, I will, but I don't like to.
No.
I thought Buddy was going to have a panic attack right there thinking about finesse fishing.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather power fish any day. Randy knows that.
So I guess with the conditions that y'all are fishing over at Possum Kingdom, was you both throwing a lot of spinner baits when you weren't bed fishing?
I always throw a lot of spinner baits, John. That's my go-to or jerk bait. I look at a jerk bait as about as close to finesse as I want to get. I end up actually, I was locating the secret to my success, really. And it was funny because I was talking to Kyle Strother the night before, and he's like, "You got a plan?" I said, "Yeah, I'm just going to go big." And I end up throwing a glide bait most of the day, locating fish on a big glide. And if they'd follow, not commit, and they never committed, but they'd follow. And I located some big girls and with finesse, throw back in a crawl. And that's how I end up catching that giant. She followed a glide bait in twice, and I threw that crawl back and messed with her for about 20 minutes. And well, it wasn't even her. It was another one about the same size as her, and it swam off to the right. My line started to the left, and when I sat down on it, I thought I sat on a boulder, and until it started peeling drag like I'd never seen.
Yeah, and that ended up being quite a huge fish. Was it? That's not the 9.7, was it?
No, it was a 10.8. The guy in the kayak, the Hobie guy that just come out of a pocket. He's like, "You have your scale." I said, "Not with me." He's like, "I got one. I'm coming." Because he seen me net it. He was like, "That thing's giant." I've never even seen a fish that looked like that.
That's awesome. I know. I mean, it seemed like there was a lot of personal best caught down there. Buddy's partner, Philip Backus. I mean, good gosh.
What a fish.
Was you there with him, Buddy, when he caught that?
No, I was on the other side of the lake, and when I seen it, you know, because we don't have signal on the end of the lake, so I didn't get it until we got back to the room when you get on Wi-Fi, and I was just amazed how big that fish was.
I mean, unbelievably huge. What do you have any idea what he caught it on?
He was scoping.
Oh.
Scoping minnows, I call them.
Well,
he called on 8-pound test on a spinning rod.
Oh my goodness! Well, yeah. this is what mine was on a spinning rod too.
And he didn't have a net neither.
Ooh. Well, this is that fish we're talking about, folks. What a beast!
Spinning rods doing the work there.
They was it. I mean, you couldn't really parafish, could you, Michael? I mean, you had to slow down.
Yeah. You really did. I end up now tournament day. I hooked a bunch of fish and I caught my limit. Couldn't call out that smaller 13.5. And it wasn't for not hooking them. I just couldn't land them. They kept, I don't know if they was just nipping. I was barely getting their lip or what it was. But that afternoon, that last 45 minutes of bite turned on like crazy. And in the last 45 minutes, I hooked 8 and landed 4. 50% wasn't very good, but it was enough to get me up and cash a check. And yeah, that fish was amazing.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, I don't think it makes that catch board look like it's a look.
That's the type of fish that almost makes you reconsider getting that 31-inch catch board.
Yeah. Look at that.
Good problem, you know, run out of board. I mean, I don't have often.
Right.
I told him I would have traded my success for that one fish.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
I mean, it's the fish of a lifetime.
Yeah, and I was telling Anthony, after the struggle before the tournament, we hit OHIV just really because I said, you know, it's been a grind. When they canceled, I was like, let's make the run to OHIV. If nothing else, I want to catch a PB while I'm here. I want to catch a double-digit bass or here, lots of them. And I thought I'd do it at OHIV. I had no clue I would do it at Possum Kingdom. But I've seen lots of just giant fish, like Buddy said. They just didn't want to move up, held back just in slightly deeper water. I caught my fish in 8 foot, but it's clear. I could see it. and she was just holding back, just not quite wanting to commit to go up shallow where those bucks were at yet.
Well, I just want to bring this fish back up because I want people to look at this. That fish is not just that it's fat. It's just a thick, big fish. I mean, you can't even really see much of a belly there. That's just
look
big.
Look at the eyes on that thing.
Yeah, it's just a big fish. Monstrous. It's crazy.
I think that's the biggest fish caught through pre-fishing and the tournament. I mean,
yeah, that was the biggest fish caught all week, I believe.
Yeah.
See, that would be going back to the old KBF days about 8-9 years ago when they used to have that competition. Remember, buddy? They had that competition where, you know, pre-fishing, the biggest bass of pre-fishing, you'd win money, huh? Those were some sweet times.
West Virginia boys, I mean, everybody knew about Phil's fish. Before we left, that fish was the talk. I mean, it was a giant, and I was so stoked when I seen the pictures. I was like, yeah, you know, one of them.
Did you get yours submitted to Sherlunker?
Yeah, he gave me the app. I got all of that taken care of, and I haven't got everything completely filled out on it yet. I've got to get the pictures uploaded over to it. But yeah, Phil walked me through that process.
Good.
So Michael was talking earlier, buddy. He said that last year he had 12 citations. And I was just thinking a little bit before that. I bet you probably had 12 citations in 4 days up at Erie.
Yeah, easily.
I mean, what
19's a citation up there.
That's what I was thinking. 19 is a citation in Erie, and we West Virginia is a 20-inch smallie is a citation. Yeah. So that's crazy.
I think I caught 9 largemouth citations back home.
I caught 12 over 21 in West Virginia last year.
Last year was good.
Yeah.
All greenfish. I had some citation smallies, but I didn't even count those. I didn't really realize what the citation was for West Virginia until this past winter.
I think I had 3 spots last year, too, in West Virginia. I had a couple of spots down in Charleston, or on Hartwell.
You know, I think the spot state record is only like 18-plus inches in West Virginia.
You need to go to Hartwell. Pitch 20 inch spots down there.
Well, I can't remember exactly how I know this, but Beth caught like a 19 inch, what we thought was a largemouth. And people kept telling her, said, that's not a largemouth, that's a spot. And, you know, at the time we didn't know the differences. But we got to looking at it, and if we would have been able to, you know, verify and know that it was a true spot by all the different identifiers on it, I think it was been a citation fish or state record for at the time, because it was almost like a 20 inch fish. It was a beast.
That's a good one.
All right, guys, we're halfway through the first segment of the show. Stand by for a second. Let's kick off a little love to the companies who show me a little love.
Feel free kayaks, paddle, pedal, or power. Something for everyone. Dubro Fishing, marine products for fresh or saltwater adventures. Z Pro Lithium, serious power for serious anglers. Big Lake Bait Company, Texas's number one custom soft plastics.
All right, guys, we're back. Welcome to the second half of the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast. I'm joined by Michael and Buddy, a couple local boys here in West Virginia. Hammers is all I can say. They went to Texas. They represented. They came back with cash. And now we're just chit-chatting about techniques and all things kayak fishing. So, Michael, what next event are you planning to hit?
I'm going to try to make Dale Hollow, definitely going to Gunnersville. I'm going to hit all the Bassmasters this year, every one of them. I'm already Airbnb'd up for all of them. I've already paid everything up. And I've I decided last year I was just going to go out and do a national trail. This is the first year. It's only my fourth year in kayak fishing, and I've learned a lot on the national. I learned a lot here, but you seem to really learn more on a national level, hitting different lakes and putting different pieces of the puzzle together. I think that was the only way I was going to advance. So learning, meeting amazing people, and it's, I don't know, it's an addictive lifestyle. The fish is part of it, but just the traveling places that I never thought I'd ever really fish OHIV or Possum Kingdom. And so it's kind of been a dream come true. And to stand next to people, Phil and Buddy and Mark and the guys that we fish with from West Virginia that are known, and I watched
Tim
before I ever got Jody into this. So
and Jody Tim Isaacs is hell of a Tim Isaacs is hell of a year.
Matt, to call those guys friends now is I'm blessed to be able to do this, and it was a little secret sauce of Big Lake. So Chris hooked me up with some of his, we'll call it his juice, his flavors, and I put it in. Yeah, I put it in most of my plastics, and we were talking on the way back, and he was asking which one it was, and I was telling him, and that was part of the juice down there too. But secret's out now. But I wasn't gonna say anything while I was in Texas.
Oh, Big Lake Bait Company, Chris Payne, guys. Make sure y'all go look him up. Hey, buddy, what about you, buddy? What do you got planned for the rest of the year?
About like Michael, definitely going to fish all the Bassmaster tournaments. Still considering one of the Hobie events. I think it's the Cayuga Lake, because I know they'll be spawning. And, I mean, that'd be a dream time, too. And NFL talked about it. And I like to do it, and probably some locals. I don't know how many, but Grimy Brandy will let me do.
Oh, get out of here.
The good thing about it, though, she'll get to go to the rest of them with me. She hasn't been able to go yet for work, but
yeah,
her time, I told her I'd rather have her go to Gunnersville. It's a special place. The Susky was absolutely amazing. Loved that place. And we're looking forward to the championship at the end of the year.
I'm sure Brandy doesn't want to go
invite me out to some of those fancy eats that you guys do. Like,
yeah, oh, I mean, I can't look at your
page. I can only look at your page after dinner. You know what I mean? Like,
we start looking at places, you know, researching. I probably research food more than I do fishing. Guarantee it.
Yeah, they look. Some of those places look absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So, guys, if you're going to a Bassmaster event here in the near future and you have recommendations, make sure you send that to wvubud.com. Yeah.
We want local places, too. I mean, we want to try the local food.
That's right.
There's a barbecue shack, little drive-through barbecue shack in Gunnersville. Lady K's, I think is what it's called. I'll find it. I'll send you the link.
Send it to us.
It is the best barbecue. I mean, and it's true barbecue. They got the smokers right there, and you guys got to try it. No hole in the wall kind of shack, but it is good.
It's okay.
That's some of those places are sometimes the best. They spend their money and time on work.
She does an amazing job.
Cool. Well, I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to my trip next Monday down to Delhalla. I'm going to spend a week down there. I'll
do my best to be there. I got to get to your point before you do.
No. I'm going to hit my point, and I'm hoping they're on beds because I'm hoping to put that 360 to work.
I don't want to put this new Titan X through the places it took to get me back that other Titan back in that little secret honey hole of mine.
Hey, you need my flogger, John.
Oh, yeah. That's what he was using 2 years ago up there.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need 360 if you got a flogger.
That's what Hey, you should see that butt up in the air and the feet hanging out and that face down in that
I
thing.
I can only imagine a flogger on a kayak. Holy cow.
He did it.
It's doable. It's interesting.
He did it. Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. That's no film. I should have brought it to Possum Kingdom, and I don't know if I could have done it with all it went, but I definitely could have seen the ones on the deeper edge. I guarantee you that.
That would have been interesting to see. I'd like to have seen a video of that.
Yeah. That big one I caught up there at Erie at 21 and a half, I looked right at her and through the flogger and caught her.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
That's awesome.
Matter of fact, awesome. Buddy, you even took a picture of her, didn't you?
I did. I've got a picture of her.
You took a picture of her through that flogger.
I thought you'd be flogging and guiding Brandy of where you. It's right there. You got it.
That was a big fish. I was like, oh, Lord, that's mine.
That's a giant. Yeah. I got you.
I look forward to that. So, are you guys going to make any trips? Like to anybody going to ICAST this year?
God, I'd like to.
Well, you know, buddy, with that hat you're wearing, if they go, you can get a pass with that hat right there.
Oh Lord, you hear it, Brandy? When is it? It's in Florida. When is it?
Mid to late July, mid July, I think.
Yeah.
That's probably right during the Susky. Mm-hmm. The Susky's in July, later July.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's take a look here.
Oh, no. It starts the 15th. It's the week before.
Okay, yeah. Beat me to it.
The week before.
She's good.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a road trip with Brian Schiller, Matt Gibson from Indiana. We meet in Tennessee, right there at the Nickajack Lake, right there at Chattanooga. We fish it, shoot content. We go down to Georgia. Normally stop at Westbrook Supply and hang out with Fletch and then meet dinner. We'll fish somewhere in Georgia. And then we go the next day down to Tampa, right outside of Tampa. It's Yankee Town. And we do an saltwater.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we go out. We have a captain. Oh man, Joe, Captain Joe. Anyway, we go out and
I have
fish.
A redfish tournament this August. My first.
Nice.
From a kayak.
Then we do ICAST. We'll do ICAST and we fish our way back.
You can do ICAST. We have a wedding.
I might have to get some pointers on that salt for you there, John. I don't know. My father-in-law lives down outside of Wilmington, and Nuisance is putting on a redfish kayak tournament in August, and I guess he brags a lot about me, so I got an invite from him. So
that actually sounds like a lot of fun. From a kayak,
so.
Well, get some of those Dubro crawls that look like shrimp, and you should be in great shape.
All right, I'll give that a shot.
Well, any final thoughts or closing thoughts there, Bud? Give us a recap of your event there on your final day and what you did to put those five fish in where you collected a check.
It's froze. I lost you a second. What'd you say?
I was going to say, give us a recap of what you did at Possum Kingdom on that final day, the only day you got the fish. And what you did to be able to collect a check?
Like I said, I committed to a cove where I'd seen some bedfish on Friday, and Saturday was canceled. So I was hoping that the bass boat tournament didn't take all the fish.
Now, I remember correctly, you told me it was where you found those bedded fish was only within a couple hundred yards of the ramp that you put in at.
Well, yeah, I caught fish right there beside the ramp, pretty much. Started right there. I had my limit.
Yeah.
I had a limit by 9 o'clock.
I caught one at that ramp right beside of them.
Yeah,
when they launched.
Right when we was launching, you caught one in front of us.
Yeah.
But it was the bad part of it was a carp spawn going on, and I mean that was affecting a lot of it.
Is it that Asian carp that does a lot of the same type of bedding that bass do, or was it something different?
I think they was regular carp.
Okay.
Regular carp.
Big carp.
They were definitely making the water dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got out of there and went on to the docks in that same cove and just got behind them marinas and just went down the banks looking for fish. They were plenty of
ledges.
Yeah.
So what was your big fish for the tournament? What was your big fish for the tournament?
18.5.
18.5? And you finished 17th. What was your total inches? 84?
84 and three quarter.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Michael, give us a recap, Big Daddy.
Pretty much the same. Once we hit that dock, my big fish was 24. My total was 85.5, 85 and three quarter. It was pretty tight. There was a lot of big fish really separating tiebreakers that separated Buddy from me. It wasn't much. And it was a grind, but it was a blast. I would do it again. The place, the size of the fish I seen in that place pre-fishing just blows your mind to see how many absolute 24 plus inch fish are in that place.
So again, the technique you use to catch those fish?
Throwing a big glide, getting follows, and once I get a follow or get them committed, I don't know if that almost got them in a feeding mode. They wouldn't need to glide, but I would throw back with that chigger crawl and just drag. They didn't want it hopping. They wanted it drug. And that's how I literally ended up catching all of mine. Once I figured that out, throw the glides, turn them on, throw that trigger crawl back, and they were chewing. But it took me the better part of the tournament day to figure that out.
Is that pretty accurate how you got your fish too, Buddy?
I didn't use a glide bait. I'd only own one, but I am going to upgrade on this stuff. That's what they got. Fishing these national events. You go to these lakes, and I mean, I just didn't have some of the gear that it takes to fish these lakes. I mean, so making some changes, learning, and
time you spent your money on.
Yes, spent my money already. I won, so.
And not to give up, I caught my limit in the last 45 minutes. So.
Yeah, and I can see that Brandy's already grabbed that Garmin and took it out to the car to take it back to the store. It's not in the camera shot anymore. So.
I actually upgraded one of my fish in the last 10 minutes of the tournament. So, I mean, like he said, yeah, you don't ever give up. And what was bad, John, there was a bass boat set on one for a couple hours. And I never did see the fish because I didn't want to crowd them. So I knew it had to be big for them to sit there so long. So I kept going back and forth throughout the day and finally got that pocket to myself. And seen that fish, the shadow under that dock, and thought, oh, Lord, I mean, this is a giant. And I throw over there and feel it, and it was the buck. And I caught it with 10 minutes to go, and I stood up before I threw him back in. I still seen that shadow pull back up in there. And I thought, I got 10 minutes to catch this fish. I never did, but I would love to have a little bit more time because it was a giant. It was definitely what I needed.
Well, yeah. Fellas, hey, I appreciate you guys taking the last almost hour of your evening to come on the Rusty Hook here and talk about your experiences. And nothing but love for both of you.
It's look forward a to good time, John.
Good yeah, time, look John. Forward to fishing with you guys, man. Mikey, I hope to see you next couple weeks. And Buddy, you and Brandy, if you can squeeze a couple days at Del Hall, come down. If not, we'll see you at Lake Erie.
Heck yeah.
Buddy, Gunnersville, that barbecue, I'll take you over and show you. We'll grab a bite of my treat, buddy.
All right, let's do it. You know, we're looking forward to it.
So as you can say, what Rick is telling everybody there, if you're looking for like a murder hornet, the chigger crawl is the murder hornet from Big Lake Bait Company. So go to their website and take a look at it. So, all right, guys, nothing but love for you. Appreciate you. Stay safe and we'll be seeing you soon.
All
right,
thank you,
y'all. Yep. All right. So, appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight here on the Rusty Hook. And hearing the experiences from our friends there, Michael and Buddy from West Virginia. We're proud of their accomplishments. You know, see, we've got Brian Schiller jumped in, said, Ride Nair's catching giants. And he definitely is, bro. So appreciate all you guys jumping in, hanging out with us, keeping the conversation going. I'm going to show you this photo again from one of our West Virginia boys who caught an absolute monster. And you're looking at it right there. This is Philip Backus, one of our buddies here that caught this big, big, big bass. She is a monster. So, Possum Kingdom was good to the West Virginia boys. And be blessed, everybody. Thank you again for hanging out with us here on the Rusty Hook. Make sure that when you are out going fishing, you're always safe. Provide your route plan with someone you love. That way they know where you are and when they can expect you back home. And always wear your PFD. All right, we're going to sign out. Nothing but love. Next Tuesday, I will be down at Del Hollow with Brian Schiller, and we'll try to come to you live a little bit more about the tournament. That we're going to hold the Paddle and Fin podcast 2-day tournament down at Del Hollow. You need to get signed up, folks. There's going to be some good money for you down there. It's like a grassroots event with some nice checks. So.